Hello and welcome to the podcast for Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. This is a message that Tom Jobe pre-recorded for our online streaming service, which aired on Sunday morning, October 25th, 2020.
Hey, everyone. On Saturdays, I used to listen to the show on the radio called Car Talk, and it was two brothers from Boston, and people would call in with their car problems, and they were like super geniuses. They would say, like, make the sound your car's making, and then they could tell you what was wrong with it. But they were also super funny, and they were Italian Americans, and they talked about that a lot, like what it means to be Italian. Every once in a while, they would do kind of a quiz. And it would say, how to know if you're really Italian. And then they would ask like 10 questions. And some of it was a little bit cringy. And some of it was, you know, I mean, really kind of true. Like they would say, you're Italian if you can't carry on a conversation with your hands in your pockets. Because like it is really kind of true that Italians talk with their hands a lot because they're like an Italian. They'll often talk to you like this because their language is so musical that they keep times with their hands, and that's how they talk. So another thing about Italians, and this is true, is like they have a different sense of humor. Like Italians don't often, you know, I mean, we lived over there for 11 years and you find out that a lot of your jokes don't really work because their sense of humor is different than ours. And so you tell a joke that would be a good one over here and they don't really get it. And then, or they don't think it, they get it. They don't think it's funny. But then they have different jokes too, which, I mean, we tend to not think they're funny just because their sense of humor is different. Let me try one on you. Okay, this is like an old classic Italian joke. And if you don't think this is funny, it's probably because in your heart you're not really Italian. But if you do, maybe you are. Okay? Due carabinieri vanno in un bar. E uno fa, Marisciallo, che cosa prende lei? Ma io prendo quello che prendi tu. Vabbè, due caffè. E l'altro fa, due caffè anche a me. If you didn't really think that was really funny, it's probably because in your heart, maybe you're not really Italian. But we've been talking about, like, for a lot of weeks, what is a Christian? Because it's kind of confusing anymore. Like, what does it mean to be a Christian? And it's a word that's only used three times in the New Testament. And you could kind of make the case in every time. It's people, like, making fun of followers of Jesus. In the New Testament, what we would call Christians, followers of Jesus, in the New Testament, it says it's people who have been born again, like born for a second time, like you're born once when you were a baby, and then subsequently you're born a second time. Or a Christian is someone who has been adopted by God into his family. Like you're spiritually like an orphan, and then at a certain point you are adopted into God's family. Or a Christian is someone who has been redeemed, which is a word that means purchased, that Jesus bought you and made you one of his choicest possessions. Or a Christian has been, Paul says this, a Christian is someone who has been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's beloved son. Like everybody starts out in the kingdom of darkness. And then at a certain point, when you become like a Christian, as we would say, you were transferred into the kingdom of God's beloved son. But here's the question I have is, how do you know that's true? Like, how do you know that you're a Christian? How do you know you've been born two times? How do you know whether or not you've been adopted into God's family? If you're one of God's chosen possessions, if you're in the kingdom of God's beloved son. Like Jesus said, it's binary. Like all of humanity, in the end, it's going to prove true that everyone was either a sheep or a goat. And the goats go into God's kingdom forever where it's going to be awesome. The sheep do, and the goats don't get to. Jesus said everybody's on one of two roads. There's one road that leads to life, like eternal life forever. And there's another road that doesn't. And everybody's on one or the other. How can I know that I'm a Christian? Somebody asked me one time, this was really kind of right before I found Jesus. They said, if you died today, do you know where you would go? And it seems kind of a corny question, but It's a good question, too. Like, if you believe in Jesus, you can know that you're going to be with him forever. What if you didn't know what was going to happen to you after you died, which everybody's going to? I don't really know how I could really live if I didn't know that. Okay, so, and you know what? We're kind of on the internet with this stuff, which I've never really been on the internet before, and I don't really know who watches this. And maybe there's somebody watching this and you don't really know. Like, you would say, I don't know what's going to happen to me. How can I know that I'm a Christian, that I have been born again, that I am in the kingdom? I want to be in the kingdom of God's beloved Son. Okay, I would say, if you're looking for evidence of whether or not you really are one, because you either are or you're not, you're either in or you're out, you either have it or you don't. If you want evidence for whether, if you really, really want to know, and you want evidence that you really are one, I would look in three places. First, I would look at my past, and I would ask this question: have I done what all true Christians have done in order to become one? One time there was a guy in this is in the book of Acts. That's the book right after like the Gospels, and it kind of tells what happens next. And there was a guy who was having a really, really terrible day and just kind of a really, really terrible time. And he just said, I just can't do this. I'm going to end it all. And he had a sword out and he was just going to end it all. But there was somebody near him, and it was the Apostle Paul, and he was having a hard time too, but this guy had noticed. This guy's so joyful. He has something that I don't have. And Paul says, don't do that. Don't hurt yourself. And the guy said, what do I have to do to be saved? Like, I've got a sword. I'm about to end it. What do I have to do to be saved? When we lived in Italy, there were these people that belonged to a different religion, and they would kind of wander around and try to sell you these little magazines and books for a dollar and a quarter, and they would try to get you to dump your religion and join their religion. And I would always, like, if they stopped me and we'd talk and stuff, and then I would say, hey, one time there was a guy in the New Testament, and he was having a really, really terrible time, and he had a sword out, and he said, I'm just going to, and the Apostle Paul said, don't do that. And the guy said, what do I have to do to be saved? And Paul had a beautiful answer. But how would you answer me? Like, according to your religion, like, let's say I have a sword out and I'm just going to, like, what would I have to do to be saved? Because I'm kind of desperate. And they would say, well, that's kind of a hard question, because first of all, you would have to, like, repent of all your sins. And then you would have to, like, join our thing and go through a ceremony of being baptized in our thing. And then you would have to, like, obey the Ten Commandments perfectly. And then you would have to, like, go door to door and go up to strangers and try to sell them these little magazines and books to kind of earn your way in. And I'd be like, that was a terrible answer. And it wouldn't be, and it wasn't what Paul said. What he said was, he had a beautiful answer. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. That's all you have to do. 90 times in the Gospel of John, John said, all you have to do to have eternal life is believe in Jesus. So it said, then Paul explained to him the message that he had. And Paul had a beautiful message. He called it in the book of Romans, the gospel. And the word gospel, it's a German word, Gutspiel. It means like the good message or whatever. But the Greek word for gospel is the word good, the good announcement. It's news. It's not good counsel. It's not good advice. It's not good Christian values. It's none of that. It's good news. Something has happened in ancient history that if you open your heart to it, it'll change your present reality and your future destiny. When Paul explained his good news to those people in Rome, because he wanted to make sure that they understood it well, he said, first, you know, I got to give you some bad news. The bad news is we've all done a million things that are, you know, terrible, and we're completely polluted. We can never pay for the things that we've done. And we couldn't clean up our own heart. It's like, Paul said, it's like God created human beings to be recipients, to be reciprocals, to be receivers of love, of his love and care. He made us with certain needs. And the idea was we would depend on God to meet our needs in a beautiful way, and we would just love him more and more and more and more. And human beings, to the beginning and ever since then, have always said to God, I don't really want that. I don't want to be dependent on you. I'm not like a little baby. You know, it's kind of like a 5-month baby saying, I don't really want you changing my diaper anymore because it's humiliating and I'm not a baby. And you're like, I'm just going to do it myself. And you're like, one, okay, you are a baby. Two, you can't do that. Three, it's only going to make it worse if you try to. And that's what we've done. Paul said at one point, he said, the only reason God ever gave the Ten Commandments, in Romans chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, is to show us that we can't do it. You can't do this. We've made a mess of it all. I remember sometimes, like, if I drive around, you see people with a sign that has the Ten Commandments on it. I just want to stop and knock on their door and say, really? Like, seriously? Like, you're seriously rocking these in this household? One time, a couple of guys came to my door. They belonged to a different religion, but they wanted me to, like, dump my religion and join their religion. It was on our day off, like on a Thursday. And one thing that they do believe is that in order to get into their version of heaven, they have to keep the Ten Commandments perfectly. So I said, we talked for a little bit. And then I said, so you really do? And they said, keep the Ten Commandments? And they said, yes. You, like, never do what they call, like, sin? They said, no, not willingly. I'm like, not willing. I said, so you guys are about, what, 19, 20? Do you ever do what, like, young people call check a girl out? You know what I mean? If she's like, how do you kids say it? If she's like hot and you check her out. And he said, maybe. And I said, well, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, that's adultery. In your heart, same thing, it's adultery. And then he started getting mad. And I said, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, that's murder. So you're going to keep the Ten Commandments, but you just told me right here you're guilty of adultery and murder. And it's like 10:30. You're not really having a great day, are you? You know, so, Paul said in Romans chapter 3, I've got great news. And the news is a righteousness from God is available to you, even though we're a total disaster. He said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation. And basically what that means is that Jesus, when we've made a total disaster and we couldn't pay for anything, completely polluted, couldn't change our own heart, that's why Jesus came. Almighty God became a human being to live among us, but more than that, to die among us. And when Jesus died on the cross in a deep mystery, Paul said what he did was, is that he willingly assumed responsibility for my guiltiness and your guiltiness. Our guiltiness was transferred to him in those dark hours when he was nailed to the cross. And he got the credit for all the bad things that we did, even though he had never done any of them. And he paid for them and then rose from the dead and offers to you and me not only a complete forgiveness of everything you've ever done to or will do, but he offers for his goodness, his righteousness, to be freely transferred to you the moment you believe in him, so that you get the credit for all the good that he did, even though we've never done really anything that's perfectly good. So that you can know, the moment you believe in Jesus, you are completely, freely righteous before God, pronounced righteous, even though we're kind of not really. Pronounced righteous from that moment forever. And what do you have to do to get this? Paul said, it's a gift. All you have to do, like, what do you have to do to get a gift? You have to, one, need it, which everybody does. Two, want it, which not everybody wants it. You think, why didn't everybody want it? Well, it's like, I don't know. It's the word gift in Greek is where we get the word charity. It's like charity. And some people, I don't want that charity. I don't want you changing my diaper. I can change him. I'm not a baby. Okay. But you have to need it. You have to want it. I want to start over. I want to be clean. I want to be included. You have to need it and want it and take it. In John chapter, in the Gospel of John, 90 times, John said, all you have to do is believe in Jesus. What do you mean by believe? And John said, it's like if somebody offers you delicious bread and you're hungry, you take it and eat it. They offer you water and you're so thirsty, you take it and drink it. They offer a door and invite you into a place where you can be protected. And you walk through it and somebody offers you a gift and you take it. You tell him, I need this. I want this. I take it. Have you done that? Okay, so that's the first place I would look. I would look into my past and I would ask myself the question, have I done what true Christians have all done? Have I received the gift? Have I told them that I want it? And somebody says, well, like, what about repentance? I thought you're supposed to, well, like, repent. I mean, I've always heard that. Well, it kind of depends on what you mean. Like, if you mean, like, repent of all your sins, like, stop doing all your sins, okay, well, you're not going to until, you like, you're dead. So good luck with that. But the Greek word, the word repentance is a word that means to change your mind. And if by that, if you mean, I'm changing my mind about being independent from God because I don't like it. And I want a relationship with him. I don't want to be independent anymore. I know I can't change my diaper by myself. It's a mess. Okay. That is awesome. Because one of the second place I would look would be, I would look in my heart and I would ask myself, am I starting to feel the feelings that true Christians all feel? And one of them is, Paul said, we haven't received a spirit of bondage. This is in Romans chapter 8. But we've received a spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, which is an Aramaic word for daddy. You can start to feel that God the Father, you can call him your daddy. And say, I'm a baby. I need you to help me. And I need help. And I want you to help me. And I love this feeling. I love having a relationship with you. That's a relationship of my weakness and you helping me all the time. And I love talking to you and just saying, help me. I remember one guy. He went to like Billy Graham. A friend took him to like Billy Graham or something, and he accepted Jesus. And then he went to the guy's church, was like a, kind of a super formal church. And he went to his Sunday school class, and they were like, if anybody wanted to pray. And the guy was like, oh God, I'm Jim. Like, I met you like last Friday and I'm so thankful for you. And I'm so thankful that I can just ask you to help me. And I need you to help me because my life is just so crappy. And you know that. And I love to have a new job because my boss is such a butt. And, you know, and he kind of went on. Well, after the Sunday school, his friend said, you know, in our church, we kind of don't use that language. We talk with more like reverence in our prayers. And like a circumspection. And the guy said, okay, but I wasn't talking to you, you know? And that's a feeling. And another feeling that you start to feel, not only God is my dad, and I love talking. Do you love talking to God? Like, you do all the time? You take your problems to him? If you're a true Christian, that should be in there. It is in there. Get in touch with it. Start to call to God your daddy and take your problems to him, and you'll find out you love it. And another feeling is, do you love Jesus? Like people who have received the gift, another feeling that they start to feel is, I love Jesus. First Peter said, even though you've never seen him, you love him. Almost the last verse of the letter to the Ephesians is, may the grace of God be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love that never stops. Almost the last verse of 1 Corinthians at the end of chapter 16, it says, may all those who don't love Jesus be lost. And it's like, what? I thought all you had to do is believe in Jesus. Yeah, but if you really, really believe in Jesus and you receive the gift, you love him because it's not that we believe in something. We believe in someone who has done something. Like the reason that Jesus died for you is because he wanted you. It's because he loved you. And when you receive the gift and you understand it's because he did that for me. You know, there's a woman who's a sociologist who she's done like 20 years of research on the concept of shame. Her name is Brené Brown. And she said, shame, it's the master emotion of American society. And she said, shame is the concept of, she said, scarcity, where people feel like, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not rich enough, I'm not skinny enough, I'm not anything enough. It's the feeling of feeling unwantable, unacceptable, unlovable. But when you believe in Jesus, you understand that not only did he die to take away all your guilt, he died to take away all your shame, because the reason he did it was because he wanted you, because he loved you, because he accepts you. So if you've never felt this way before, you can from now on say, I am officially acceptable. I am officially lovable because Jesus loved me. I'm officially wantable because Jesus wanted me and I love him. I love praising him. When people sing praises to him, I love it. Do you love that? You know, we had a guy in our church in Italy who started coming to our church, and I just loved him. Let's just say his name was Giuseppe, but he was what they call a portinaio, he and his wife, and which means he was like a door person in an apartment building where he took the mail and everything and checked to see who came in and out. I don't really know how much school he ever went to. He started to come to our church. They'd always be late but in Italy, when you go to people's to an occasion, you always bring something. They would always spend about $70 on Italian ice cream, and they would bring ice cream for everyone. They would get to church 15 minutes late. We would have to stop worship to have ice cream until we could finally talk him out of it. But for a while I thought, I don't know. It's his offering to Jesus. It's kind of holy. But anyway, I always wanted to make sure that Nicola understood the message of Jesus. And I never was quite sure that he did, that why Jesus died and what it means to believe in him. And, you know, but those people from that other religion that would always sell you like their booklets and magazines for $1.25, they would always try to talk to him because he was a portinaio, and they would always talk to them because they had a lot of time. And he would always buy, he had a closet full of their magazines. you know, but he never understood what they were telling him. But so one day I took a little, it was a little booklet. It was like a phone booklet. And I was trying to get the gospel over like a, for like the 100th time. And I said, Nicola, let's say this little booklet, this little phone book is eternal life that Jesus died and rose again to buy for you. I'm offering it to you as a gift. What would you have to do to take it? And he looked at me and he looked at the book and he looked at me and he said, well, those other people would make me pay a dollar and a quarter. And I was like, okay, we're not quite there yet. Finally, one day, I just said, Nicola. I explained the gospel to like the billionth time. And I said, Nicola, if you were to die today, se tu dovessi morire oggi. Ed io ti chiede, Nicola Squarcella, perché dovrei lasciarti entrare qua? I said, Nicola, if God were to say, Nicola, why should I let you enter into heaven? What would you say? And he said, Tommaso, I would just say, I love Jesus. And I said, that's good enough for me. So I know. You know, like almost everybody's like, yeah, I have to receive that gift. But what if there's somebody out there and you're like, you know, I've heard this a long time, but I don't know if I've accepted the gift. Well, why, would you like to? Do you want to? You can have it. You can have it. And you're like, do I have to do anything? No, I mean, no, you don't have to do anything. It's a gift. I mean, it would be great if you would tell God that you want it. Like, there's a place. I mean, somebody's offering you a gift. It cost Jesus his life and blood, and it's amazing to just say thank you. I take this gift and thank you for it. There's a place in Romans chapter 10 where Paul said, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved, because whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And maybe he is saying it's good to tell God, I want it. Thank you for giving it to me. You know, I used to have a booklet that explained all this stuff to people in Italian and gave it to, like, you know, we just gave like thousands of those away. But but if somebody wanted to receive the gift, it has a prayer at the end that, I don't know, we just kind of made it up to help someone who doesn't quite know what to say. What if there's somebody, I don't know, what if there's somebody out there watching this and you don't know if you've received the gift and you want to? You could just say this right along with me. Are you ready? Lord Jesus, I realize now that I'm a sinner and my sins have separated me from you. I deserve eternal separation, actually. But you paid for my sins on the cross. I need the forgiveness you want to give me. I need the new life and the new heart you offer me. I accept you as my Savior. Come into my life. I want to know that I'm saved for certain and forever. I want this moment to be the beginning of a new life in you. Thank you for the gift that you give me now. Amen. If you did that, welcome.
I can't make it alone. I can't pull myself. Come and make me your own. I don't wanna live without you. I can't make myself clean. I can't make myself. Jesus, Lord, I believe. I don't wanna live without you. Strong, and I could never be.